Today on the Pastor Study, we're going to continue our study on the tribulation. For the past several weeks now, we've been doing a study called Things to Come. We're looking at the next prophetic events on God's calendar. And of course, one of them is the tribulation. And we'll pick up where we left off last time as we were talking about the vial judgments, the seven vials that are going to be poured out, the seven vials of judgment that are going to be poured out upon the earth during the tribulation period. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to come to open up thy very words, to study, to learn. Father, I pray that your words as they go forth today would bring honor and glory to thy name. I pray that the saint of God would be encouraged, lifted up, built up, Lord, and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for the lost soul that may be listening today that's on their way to hell. I pray this would be the very day that they'd call upon the name of the Lord, believing in their hearts that he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day. I pray that they'd plead the blood of Jesus, realize it's only Jesus shed blood and nothing else that can pay for their sins, past, present, and future, and secure a home in heaven. God, we pray for that lost soul today would come to Christ. Father, now we commit this time into thy very hands. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and we give thanks. Amen. Well, we had looked at up to the sixth vial judgment. Now we want to look at the last vial that's going to be poured out during the tribulation, the seventh vial judgment. For that, we need to turn together to the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, we need to turn to chapter number 16 in the book of Revelation to see the seventh vial judgment. And we're going to begin in verse 17, Revelation 16, and read down together to verse 21. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. So here there we have the description of the seventh vial judgment. In this vial judgment, the words, "It is done," are very significant. This is the final vial, bringing to close the worst judgments ever poured out on this earth. The most catastrophic earthquake of all time shakes the earth. this earthquake may actually move continents. So that ends the vial judgments that are going to be poured out, the seven vial judgments that will be poured out during the tribulation period. Now what I want to do is to turn our attention to look at how the book of Exodus, I believe, as you look upon the, especially the plagues upon Egypt, in the book of Exodus, the prophetic forecast of God's future judgment upon the world during the tribulation. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at things in the book of Revelation and compare them to what's going to happen during the tribulation period on this earth. And we're going to see that in Exodus, it's really a prophetic picture of what's going to take place on the earth during the tribulation and the treatment of the Jews and so forth and so on. So that's what I want us to do right now. And what I want us to look at is we want to compare some of the events that took place while the children of Egypt were in bondage to Egypt, while these things that took place while the children of Israel were in bondage to Egypt in the book of Exodus, with the events to occur in the future during the tribulation. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at several things. The first thing I want us to see is, just as Israel was sorely oppressed and afflicted while in bondage to Egypt, so will they be during the tribulation, or the period called Jacob's trouble. Now let's first go to Exodus chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, and then verse 14. And now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also under our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure city, a Python and Ramses. Now verse 14. And they made their lives bitter in hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, in all manner of service in the field, and all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Now, let's look at the tribulation and compare what we just read to how Israel will be treated. First, we need to go to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 30 with me. Jeremiah chapter 30, and we'll look at verses 5 through 8. Jeremiah chapter 30, 5 through 8. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. See, he's comparing this time of during the tribulation as a man, or he pictures it as a woman in travail with a child, and how, you know, putting your hands on the loins, and the face turning pale as in pain. At last, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Amen. Talking about Israel. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. So again, we see it's going to be a painful time, amen, for Israel during the tribulation. But God is going to deliver them through it, and he's also going to destroy Israel's enemies. Now let's further turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12, verses 13, and then verse 17. And when the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. So we see during the tribulation, Satan's going to be cast out of heaven to the earth. And then he's going to go after the woman, which is Israel. And then verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we see then the Antichrist, Satan, amen. Actually, Satan, it's the dragons described it, describing Satan. He's very angry with Israel, and he's going to go after them and attack them and attack the remnant of Israel that has, during the tribulation period, been right with God. In other words, kept the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's going to go after those remnant of Israel who's been faithful to God through all of this, who haven't turned away from God, but have turned to God. Now, the second thing we want to see is Israel will cry unto God, and he will hear and answer them. That happened in when they were in bondage in Egypt, and we're going to see it happen when Israel's going through the tribulation period. So let's turn first back to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 2. And look in Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. And it came to pass, in process of time, that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. So we see then, during the bondage there in Egypt, children of Israel cried unto God. He heard them. He answered them. He remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. and you know, that he would give them their own land, and God had respect unto them. Now, look in the tribulation. Before we go there, I want to look at one more reference in Exodus chapter 3, in verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a lodge, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherein the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Again, God hears their cry. Hears their cry of bondage and affliction under the burden of their taskmasters in the land of Egypt. And he says, I'm going to take them out of there. I'm going to come down, deliver them, and bring them into that land flowing with milk and honey. The land that I promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob that Israel would have someday. Now, let's see, something similar is going to happen in the tribulation. And we need to turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. The prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31 with me. Jeremiah 31, beginning in verse 18 down to verse 20. Now, we have a reference to Ephraim, and what I want you to see is Israel is referred to as Ephraim here in Jeremiah 31. Beginning in verse 18, and I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock, unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh, I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. And again, Jeremiah here is prophetically speaking about the tribulation, future event, that Israel would see that remnant seed that would get right with Israel, would see how they were wrong, get right with God, live for God, and God will deliver them. Amen, as they cry out to him. Now, another thing we want to see is God will command their oppressor to let them go. We'll see that in that happen in Egypt. He told Pharaoh to let his people go, and we're also going to see it in the tribulation. God will command Israel's oppressor to let them go. But let's turn back to the book of Exodus. Exodus, please. In Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5, in verse number 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Now let's turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 6. Again, Isaiah, here's a prophecy. He's speaking, the context is in the tribulation. Isaiah 43, verse 6, we read, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. So we see God will command, not only did God command Israel's oppressor, Egypt, there during the Exodus, book of Exodus, but he also will command Israel's oppressor in the tribulation to let them go. And of course the oppressor will be Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet. Now what's interesting is we'll see that God will send two witnesses to work miracles before their enemies. And of course, in Exodus, the two witnesses was Moses and Aaron there in Egypt. And the tribulation, we'll see two witnesses. Again, we've talked about the two witnesses of the tribulation in length, which we showed clearly from the scripture, are going to be Moses and Elijah. But let's see. Going to the book of Exodus, Chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7 with me. In verses 8 through 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, shew a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so, as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 11, to see the two witnesses here. Revelation chapter 11, in verses 3 through 6. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks, standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devoureth their enemies. And if any will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it not rain, not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over the waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. So again, we see that God will send two witnesses to work miracles before their enemies, just as he did in Egypt. In the book of Exodus, we'll see that he will send his two witnesses to work miracles before Israel's enemies in the tribulation. Now you might ask, why two witnesses? Well, because the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 18, verse 16, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Amen. Again, here in the study today, we're comparing things that happened in Egypt in the book of Exodus, and we're saying really they were a picture and type of what was going to happen to Israel during the tribulation. Next thing we want to see is Israel's enemies will also perform miracles. We saw Israel's enemies perform miracles in Egypt in the book of Exodus. And we'll see that again in the tribulation. Let's look first in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 7. Verses 11 and 12. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Let's drop down to Exodus chapter 7, verses 19 to 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that they may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Then in verse 22, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. Now, let's turn over and compare to what we see in Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 15. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And of course, I believe it's talking in this passage here about the false prophet. Amen. So again, what we see here is that Israel's enemies will also perform miracles, as we saw that Pharaoh's magicians and sorcerers did during the Exodus. But we also will see Israel's enemies, the Antichrist, the false prophet, Satan, will do miracles, perform miracles during the tribulation to deceive many. Amen. Well, I have some more things that I want to bring out between Exodus, the book of Exodus, and what happened to the Jews in Egypt, and what's going to happen to the Jews, the nation of Israel, during the tribulation, and we'll pick up next time. But again, I want to remind folks that this study that we've been doing on things to come is available to them on audio cassette tape. You can purchase any part of the study or all of the study. Amen. And if you can't afford it, I'll send you it out to you absolutely free. But again, I want to thank you for joining me, Brother Gino, for the pastor study today. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.